Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women who make us think differently about our own lives. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today, it's an honour to talk to, from all the way over in LA in the US, is Shelley Zales. Hello and welcome, Shelley.
Nikki, I'm so happy to be here with you. First of all, your voice is so soothing.
Oh, bless you.
And I'm sitting... It is. It's just so soothing and calming and powerful at the same time. You know, I always talk about grace with grit, and I think your voice just brings that to life.
Oh, bless you. A lovely thing to say. Thank you so much. Now, Shelley Zales is an internationally renowned entrepreneur, speaker, mentor, mother, and founder and CEO of The Female Quotient, a speaker and thought leader and advancer of gender equality in the workplace, and a Forbes columnist. So Shelley, my goodness, you are one busy lady, and we're going to talk about what you've achieved in lockdown as well in a minute, but you've literally changed the game and rewritten rules for women and brought feminine values into the workplace and are an incredible role model to women and leaders in your industry. What started this passion that fueled this incredible wave?
You know, I it certainly was not intentional. And I always say we went from a moment to a movement. It all happened truly by accident. And I think the best ways that change happens is through experience. And, you know, that experience that bubbles up within tends to, you know, ooze out. And I was the only female CEO, top 25 in market research my entire career. I always knew that I thought differently, and I was always dinged for being me. And so whenever I would bring emotion forward or develop too many relationships or want to push the envelope and you know, I wasn't willing to take no for an answer, I was always told either it wasn't the right time or I had terrible reviews. I remember when I was 25 years old, I, you know, was called in for a review by a male boss. I was told that, you know, I thought I was the golden girl. I'm going to walk in, I'm going to get a raise, I'm going to get a promotion, I'm going to be told how wonderful I was. I sit down and we had typewriters. I'm 58 years old. So I, 33 years ago, a long time ago, we had these typewriters. It was literally an 8-page typed review, you know, in typewriting, little tiny letters. So you can only imagine. The first 3 lines were niceties, generic niceties, that I'm kind, that I'm good, I'm smart, you know. Then the rest of the 7.5 pages were just ripping me to shred. You know, basically told me I push people too hard. I, you know, expect everyone to jump when, you know, I come back from a client meeting. I was in business development. I push people too hard. I expect people to move too fast. I go out for too many lunches and, you know, all kinds of weird shit.
Oh, my word.
And yeah, it was terrible. And I, tears literally were coming down my eyes. And I looked at this boss and I thought to myself, I have 2 options. I'm 25. I need my job. Like either say, oh, you're right. Or do what I did, which was look at him and say, God, you are so wrong. There is nothing more important than relationships. That's the, you know, the whole underpinning of what business is all about. And I said, I don't go to take clients to lunch because I need a free lunch. I don't need a free lunch. I go because I know when their birthday is, how many children they have, what makes them tick. I keep in touch with clients even when they don't have their job. I said, that is the power of business. And I said, so you are so wrong. That day, he actually put this woman above me. I said, well, why are you putting her above me? You know, and he said, because this is a research company and she's a researcher. What don't you get about that? I kept that review. I still have it.
I should think you need to frame it. It was brutal, but it fueled you, didn't it?
And it fueled me. And I'm still really great friends with that guy today, 33 years later. And I said to him recently, do you feel bad about that review? And he said, no. I said, why not? You were so mean and unkind and wrong. He says, because look at where you are today. Everything that I told you I wanted you to be, which was a paper pusher and an order taker, you took that to another level. And then the second moment, so I call them heartbeat moments, not cognitive moments, because you would have rationalized. If I was rationalizing the decision, I would have agreed with him because I needed my job and he was my boss and I'm supposed to follow the rules. And by the way, following the rules is a lot easier than breaking the rules. We'll talk about that. And then the second thing was I stayed with that company, even though I knew one day I would leave, but I didn't know where I was going. And I stayed and I had this idea to migrate research from offline, from mall and from telephone to the internet. And so I went to my bosses, a man, and I said, oh, why don't we move research to, you know, the internet? And they told me that it was a good idea, but it wasn't the right time because there was no one online yet. So how do you do a market research company without a representative population? So the following week, I'm on a panel with the chief research officer of Procter & Gamble, and my bosses are in the front row because Procter & Gamble, the largest marketer in the world, and was not a client of the company at the time. I'm in business development. And so I'm whispering to him, you know, on the sidebar. I come off the stage and my bosses are like, oh my God, what were you talking to him about? You know, that looked really dynamic and exciting. I said, I just asked him, when is the right time to come into Procter & Gamble and talk about online research? And he said, next week. I said, so we're going. And so my bosses said, great, Paul will go, John will go, Ringo will go, and Star will go. And I'm like, what about Shelly? And they said to me, which was true, they said, you know, Shelly, it's really a boys club. And, you know, we think this is the best team. And I said, well, if I'm not going, I will cancel the meeting and you can all wait for the right time.
Oh, brilliant. You're a nice, feisty, achievable woman, aren't you? It's fantastic. I love what you've done.
But those were truly, when you talk about, you know, bringing the feminine, you know, I've always hid my greatest strength. And, you know, the moment, and these were all moments. I sold my company. I left. I built the largest, fastest growing research company. You know, I'm the pioneer of online research, whole other story. Great stuff. Sold to a big, you know, publicly traded company. And as a woman, I wanted to go into technology. And this was another heartbeat moment for me. And I just want to share this with all of your listeners because it is so important to believe in yourself, even when others don't. You have to follow your heart, female intuition. I call them heartbeat moments, all those things that we talk about. I wanted to go to CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. And I heard there was 150,000 people, less than 3% women. Put me in research anywhere in the world. I knew everyone. I was in market research 35 years. Put me in technology. I knew no one. And so what do? When you're nervous, either you don't go or you call your girlfriends. And so I called four girlfriends. I said, let's walk the floor together. If you know other women, bring them. And 24 hours later, 50 women showed up. We walked the floor. Two remarkable things happened. One, every guy's head turned. Like, where the heck did all you women come from?
You do stand out in tech events, don't you?
Yeah. Of course. A woman alone is power. Collectively, we have impact. And the second was I was surrounded by women just like me. Work-life balance issues, caregiving issues, imposter syndrome, perfection issues, doing it all, like all those things, how to rise the ranks, how to find your voice, how to be yourself, how your differences are your greatest strength, but we make them invisible. And all of a sudden, more business was done because why, Nikki? Yeah. We developed a relationship with one another, a relationship based on trust, based on safety, based on care, based on collaboration, based on empathy, based on passion, based on compassion, based on resilience. And that's when the Girls Lounge was born.
Oh, I love what you're doing. I mean, you've been wrongly called a chief troublemaker, which I think is very unkind and inaccurate, isn't it? And I think they wouldn't say that about men, would they? And you know, there's been a lot of sayings about women deserve things on merit, but you're really breaking amazing ground. You've created the largest female-led community and transformed workplace culture, which I think is awesome. You've rewritten the rules, you innovate and provide solutions, and you create impact. And as you say, there's power in the pack. Over 250 events as lounges and helped over 35,000 women in business. I mean, that's phenomenal. What did you say before we started interviewing? How many events you've done in lockdown? Because presumably doing virtual events is even a bigger audience for you, and even, you know, you can do even more.
Thank you. You know, we've evolved Girls Lounge. We took on the boys club. So the opposite of boy was girl, the opposite of club was lounge. So if there's a boys club, there's a girls lounge. We've connected over 50,000 women in the workplace, from entrepreneurs to, you know, Fortune 500 across the globe. and created the largest community of women supporting other women. But then we evolved to Equality Lounge, because while we are empowering women, women helping other women, women supporting other women, which is so incredibly important, we also know that the rules in the workplace are run by men. And, you know, we talk about caregiving is still predominantly a female issue. Leadership is still predominantly a male issue, because by default, they're still the leaders. And so really to create change, closing the gaps, parity policy pipeline, and also personal growth, everyone must be involved. So we've evolved to Equality Lounges. We've been hosting over 60 to 70 pre-COVID lounges at the biggest industry conferences around the world, from CES to the World Economic Forum with world leaders. Since COVID, we've migrated the live in-person experiences to virtual experiences, virtual conversations, and they get uncomfortable, but we are comfortable being uncomfortable together, which is the most important. So we've held over 300 conversations across 1,200 plus speakers. Wow. Across topics that we all want to talk about, but sometimes we're afraid to talk about. So when you really are powered by collaboration, bringing all of us together to share the good, bad, and the ugly, but also the case studies of success, so that we can stop truly admiring the problems and doing the same thing in silos. If we could all work together and unite on advancing women and advancing equality, yes, that's how Next Step Solutions, that's how measurement for accountability, that's how conscious mindset really kicks in. That's when change happens.
Definitely. I mean, and presumably we've gone backwards because of COVID with the imbalance and inequality and, you know, going back to an awful lot of difference. Could you think we can make up that ground that we've lost?
Well, listen, you know, according to the World Economic Forum pre-COVID, it said it'll take over 257 years to close the gender equity pay gap, and over 99.5 years to realize gender parity in the C-suite. So we already are starting at a ridiculous place, right? Like, makes no sense. And so now with COVID, we are seeing a disproportionate impact on women and women of color in particular. And so, you know, one of the things I talk a lot about, equality is a choice, unconscious bias is an excuse. If you use the word unconscious, you're conscious. So once you're conscious that there is a wage gap, on average, women making 80 cents on the dollar, Black women 64 cents on the dollar, Latinas 54 cents on the dollar. Once you're aware, you have a choice. Do you want to keep waiting and watching, which means we will continuously keep, you know, creating bigger and bigger gaps? Or do you want to make a conscious decision, equal pay for equal work, you close the gap, whether it costs you $3 million, you know, Mark Benioff closed his gaps with Salesforce. It's all doable if you make the conscious decision and are willing to go where you need to go. What do we have to wait 257 years for? It'll take 5 years. It's not complicated.
You're so right. And it talks, and I think when you talk in data and, you know, with such knowledge and informed intelligence, I think that's what makes the change with the Fortune top companies and everything else. And that's why you're making such a difference. And today, as CEO of the Female Quotient, you work with Fortune 500 companies, you've advanced gender equality, and it's making a difference. As you say, you know, you've gone from the World Economic Forum, Cannes Lions, Consumer Electric Show, global conferences. You're navigating change. You're revealing women's secret power. And you've talked about secret power in some of your articles, haven't you? I know you write for Forbes and you're a big change maker at Makers and all over the place. What is our secret power then?
Well, listen, the most important is it shouldn't be a secret. You know, it's how do we make the invisible strengths visible? And one of the things that we see right now during COVID, during crisis moments, it is the caregivers. Countries run by women are the first to respond without being told, do this, do that. Why? Because we're natural nurturers. That's what we do. We always want to take care of everyone. We take care of everyone before we take care of ourselves. And that's a true leader. A true leader is one that inspires, not one that motivates. One that inspires everyone to be their best selves, everyone to bring their whole selves to the table, and creates that culture of care and that culture of belonging. And so when you look at the countries run by women, we saw they were first to respond, yes, first to enact policies that were going to be good for everyone. And they were the most successful
definitely
countries in responding.
Definitely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our secret powers that are not so secret, and if you look at the feminine qualities, nurturing, empathy, compassion, resilience, passion, collaboration, support, nurturing, the masculine, analytic, decisive, aggressive, linear. We need both. We need the yin and the yang, you know, and plenty of men have the feminine and plenty of women have the masculine. Yes. So it's not such a secret.
As you say, it's so true. And the time for quality really is now, isn't it? I mean, we were set back, as you say, in lockdown, and kindness and support helps now. I think really, you know, there are camps of the haves and the have-nots, and everyone being kind because people have lost jobs and childcare is imbalanced and domestic violence is on the increase and people are confused, aren't they, working from home. Now, you yourself have been on numerous high-profile powerhouse podcasts and have interviewed some incredible people that I am the envy of, from Halle Berry to Gwyneth Paltrow and Sheryl Sandberg and Arianna Huffington, and more on topics related to equality and leadership. And I saw a photo of you that you've met Senator Kamala Harris. I saw on your Instagram. What a victory for women. How do you feel about that?
Listen, you know, I'm the co-founder of a movement called hashtag see her. If you can see her, you can be her. And what is so inspiring, it's not just that she's a woman, you know, because by the way, there are plenty of women in positions of power that have not activated, you know, the changes for women that we need to see. It is someone that is going to go beyond talking to action. We need to move from beyond signing pledges and petitions to activating solutions for change, creating policies that will allow all of us to thrive, you know, to bring our best selves to the table and thrive in the workplace. I mean, these are very basic concepts. And, you know, we do need to throw out the junk in the trunk that doesn't work and create the new ones that really make the most sense. And we're seeing a lot about that right now in these COVID moments of flexibility and fluidity. And one of the things that I talk a lot about is life stage accommodation, so that we can accommodate people through their life stages so that we not only attract but also retain our best talent, not just the available talent of what's out there. And you brought this up, Nikki, about caregiving and you know, parental leave policies and things like that. So with Kamala, one of the things she's very committed to is closing the pay gap. And we are going to need to do a lot of work with private public sector integration to move the needle. But also, corporations need to hold themselves accountable. You can't wait for one person to make a difference. We all have to take that responsibility. We all have to own the accountability to be better, to take steps forward, to create progress. But she is remarkable, and I think that she will walk the talk. And so, you know, thrilled that, you know, she's in the running, and that I really do have a lot of hope for a better, more equitable future if we are all in this together and really leading with love and leading with light and leading with, as I said, experience. She knows what being a victim of bias, of all these bias barriers, you know, are. And so, you know, the best leaders today for change are those that have had those personal experiences where it's, for me, I want to give back with generosity what I wish I had rising the ranks. And I think she will do the same.
And I think people are appreciate, you know, your openness and honesty on that. And I like that, leading with light and love. That's beautiful. So your Forbes column provides inspiration and advice for women in the messy middle, as you say. So is that messy middle in business on the way up, or is that in terms of age, or both, in terms of people left out a bit? Is that what you mean?
Well, I mean, we start in the workplace entry level. So messy middle to me is middle management. We start entry level 50-50, other than in tech fields, and in certain fields we start lower than that because we drop out before we get in. But we start on average 50-50. We end at less than 17% in the C-suite. In the C-suite, not in CEO, that's less than 4%, but in the C-suite. Where we fall off is in middle management, which we call the messy middle. This is a period in life where you're gaining more responsibility at work, gaining more responsibility at home, if you are a primary caregiver. Now, I also got a wonderful message from someone that sent me a message in LinkedIn saying, why don't we ever talk about the bias against single women. You know, we always talk about women with children and primary caregivers. There are challenges with single women too. There are other bias barriers for women in general and also for single women. But messy middle to me is primary caregiving. And by the way, if men are primary caregivers, they have the same challenge. You're not going to be able to work the long hours. You're not going to be able to travel all the time unless your partner is assuming a lot of shared responsibility. But these become challenges. And women in the messy middle have a lot of issues. The imposter syndrome, which all women have, which by the way, men have too. Men just ignore that voice. Women let it get louder. Yeah. How do I do it all? You know, that work-life balance. And, you know, we talk a lot about you have one life with five dimensions: your work, your family, your community, your girlfriends, never forget. And the fifth is yourself. And so at different stages of life, you have to moderate. You know, everything is not equal. Life is messy. And that's really where the messy middle came from. Life is messy. You got to make choices.
I love the way you think and your dimensions. That's so true. And you're a mum too, aren't you? Is it a daughter?
I have three children. I have my son, Jake, is 23 years old. My daughter, Nikki, is 25 years old. And my son, Alex, is 28 years old. I'm about to have another daughter because he's getting married, Adina. And so, you know, my family will always be my priority. One of the things, Nikki, I always established was having a no regret policy. Yeah. I never wanted to look back in life and say shoulda, woulda, coulda. And so, you know, for everyone listening, never miss the moments that are important. And so I used to say to my kids, whatever is important to you, you tell me. That will be I will ink that. I had a Filofax. Now we have our phones. But at the time, I would ink that in my diary. Non-negotiable moment.
That is incredible, especially with your seniority, and you know, to maintain that, I think it is probably envied by a lot of women, and actually should be an example. And certainly now, I think hopefully people will look differently about working from home and priority. I'm a mum.
You know, I would always say to myself, if there was a meeting and my kid said, "I want you to be at this play," I would say, "Well, you know, if I'm going to feel bad missing that, I'm not going to do it." And I can guarantee you, with 1,000% certainty, and I am a market researcher, that no one will ever remember later in life that meeting that you missed or that trip you didn't take.
That's so
but
true.
My kids will always remember that I was always there in the moments that mattered for them. And it also required me still. I married 33 years. My husband is a colorectal surgeon. He's a butt doctor. Wow. Okay. And we are co-parents. There was no mother-father of expectation. We co-parented and we had rules. If he was traveling, I wasn't. If I was traveling, he wasn't. And, you know, as long as one of us was always home, my kids were happy. That's, you know, the kids went to school and, you know, and there's lots of tips around carpools and all that, you know, that I can give anyone a little cheat sheet on things that didn't work for me, being a full-time working person. Yes. And things that I navigated that did work really well that were zigging and zagging and were not like in a textbook. So anyone that wants to reach out, I'm happy to help you with that.
And I love the fact, yeah, you've got a partnership even at home and a whole team of people. That's brilliant, you know, and I'm a mum too. And actually, yes, know exactly how you feel. We talked about See Her, which is amazing. The See Her that you mentioned, the movement led by the Association of National Advertisers, the ANA, to increase the percentage of accurate portrayals of women and girls in advertising and media, because particularly nowadays, social media, and as a mum yourself and as a mum myself, it's heart-wrenching to see how they suffer at how important it is to have this online presence and to look the best and to not be photoshopped and everything. And presumably your mission is tackling all of that as well. That body dysmorphia is a huge thing, isn't it, for boys?
Well, media defines culture. Culture defines change. Change creates impact. And so, you know, when you think about what you see, you know, across the board, that's what you imagine the possibilities, you know. And it's interesting. My very dear girlfriend, Megan Smith, who was also part of the inception of See Her, she was the former chief technology officer of the White House under Obama. Yeah. And she is such an inspirational role model to me, always showing me and teaching me about women in history and, you know, and she was very instrumental in the movie Hidden Figures, you know, helping uncover these hidden secret figures. You know, the biggest problem with women is we've been written out of history or forgotten in history, which is so unfortunate. And she showed me such a simple image of a family, an American family standing in front of the White House. And this is like a C.J. run, you know, like one of those books. And it had this perfect quote unquote family, a husband and wife, right? Blonde, blue eyes, and with a son and a daughter. And the image is standing in front of the White House, and you see the parents and the daughter standing in the background and the son right in front of the White House. What does that image tell you? Boys should be president, yes. Right? It was just this, a picture is worth a thousand words. And so, you know, this is what we need to, you know, we need to flip the script, flip the balance, and not make it artificial, real, the accurate and realistic portrayal of girls and women in media, advertising, entertainment.
Definitely.
Exclamation point, not complicated. And how do we also really remove these stereotypes that aren't even true stereotypes? There's an organization called Catalyst. It's a non-for-profit organization. They started a campaign called Bias Correct. And it is so awesome because it takes words that are that have negative connotation or perception, and perception becomes reality, like bossy. I mean, how many times have you been told you're too bossy? How do you take that negative word of bossy and turn it into the positive? I'm not too bossy. Sheryl Sandberg says, you're the boss. Sheryl Sandberg says, you have executive presence. I'm not too bossy. I have executive presence. Beyonce says, I'm not too bossy. I'm the boss. Or the word aggressive. I'm not aggressive. I'm assertive. I'm decisive. I'm, you know, introvert. I'm not shy. I'm just focused and thoughtful. How do you just take those negative words? And a lot of that is, you know, my girlfriend, Liz Heller, was telling me something yesterday that was so true. Like when people say, oh, you're angry. You're so angry. Well, you know, if you actually would watch yourself without sound, right? How do you come across, you know? And so we just need to reverse this negative lexicon, you know, get rid of these negative connotations and flip the script so that we start talking with positivity and proactivity, and also using new adjectives that also describe us more than the ones. I mean, imagine you getting, Nikki, a job description that says, we're looking for a decisive, aggressive, linear, analytic, you know, leader that can deliver a great ROI, a great bottom line. You're like, I'm not aggressive. I'm not any of those things. I'm out. Now let me play the same thing. We're looking for an emotive, passionate, nurturing, collaborative, storytelling, contextualized leader that could deliver a great ROI. I'll take that job times 10.
Yes, it's out of date words, isn't it? And actually, when you add women to any equation, there is a return on equality and in money, isn't there? In terms of, could add 28 trillion, I think I read, to the global GDP by 2025, in terms of if there was more of a shift. So they can make more money. That's what we need to. So you're on the board of Makers, the groundbreaking American women in different spheres of influence, war, comedy, space, business, Hollywood and politics. And they do incredible projects, don't they? So that's amazing. And you enjoy helping young women with role models, and you're a mentor yourself, aren't you? As well as a mum. So which strong women or men have inspired you then in your life?
So many, I have to say. And, you know, we've coined a phrase, mentorship in the moment. It's not just about wisdom from the top down or the bottom up. It's about sharing the learning all around. I learned from women with tons of experience, and I learned from Gen Z, you know, every single day. And so for me, it's bits and bytes of advice from people who have been there, done that across the board. So I can't give you one answer because I don't think that there is one perfect mentor. I think that really the best advice comes from places you least expect, and that's from spending time back to relationships, talking to people and listening and learning and evolving. And the best wisdom comes truly from people who have been there, done that. And I think that, you know, to me, that's why, you know, being out in the world and having such a big community of inspiring advice givers, you know, and leaders, you know, leadership, I say, is not about age, it's about action. The president of my company, Talia, is 27 years old.
Wow.
She runs my company. I could not even imagine a better leader than her. She didn't need to have, you know, 35 years of experience in business. She is so effective, so passionate, so strong, you know, and I think that sometimes we're looking for something very specific and then you miss finding that magic.
Oh, how lovely. And she'll hear this and hear what you've said about her. And that's really special and magic too. How lovely. So what were you like as a child then? Did you want to help change the world when you were really young?
I don't think so. You know, my mother is obviously the most influential role model in my life. And my father, who passed away 3 years ago, I'm one of four girls. And one of the things my mother always taught us was to believe in ourselves. She says, if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. I coined the phrase, confidence is beautiful. And so she instilled confidence in us, you know, that we could be whatever we could imagine. She also started the first conference for women for Pete Wilson, the former governor of California. And I didn't even understand, Maria Shriver took it over after, but I didn't even understand what it was that she was doing. I must've been 30, 28, 29 years old at the time. And now looking back, I mean, she brought thousands of women from the state all together to have, you know, to experience different content conversations and to have breakout sessions. And I just remember seeing all these women saying, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, she was ahead of the game. I read that, you know, that actually that inspired you. And one of them showed that they were vulnerable, didn't they? And that affected you deeply.
Well, vulnerability. And I think these are strengths that we always hide again, you know, that we're not supposed to be vulnerable. But why? You know, when I was told there's no room for emotion in the boardroom, I went and gave a speech the next day to thousands of people saying, bring emotion to the boardroom, because I'm not going to apologize or ask permission to be who I am. That was one of the things I learned early on. And my father also taught me that there is no such thing as time. He never wore a watch. The right time is when you make it the right time. You know, he would never rush through something because his watch told him to be somewhere. And he always says, you know, I'm not your aging father. I'm your ageless father. Taught me so many things by being, not doing.
Yes.
Who you are, not what you are and how you do it, but who you are.
That's so
true. Who are you at the core? Because that's where authenticity and consistency comes in. And I've lived my life through crazy adventures and I've lived in the moment and every moment matters.
Oh, I so agree. And I think it particularly does as a mother or when you've lost parents, which I'm, you know, obviously having very similar experiences to you. And I think on audio and radio, I think that authenticity and that vulnerability shows and people can tell when something's real and that's how they relate. And that's why we love doing our podcast, and it's to help people overcome adversity and particularly now to help heal and be inspired and hear other stories and know that they can be okay. And in COVID, we've had mindfulness, Buddhist coaches, trauma counselors, you know, people that uplift you, as well as business leaders and people that make you think differently. So we appreciate that. And is there any personal or life adversity that you'd like to share with us that you've thrived and survived from?
I don't take no for an answer. So I got a lot of no's. And, you know, for me, it's there's always a solution. You just have to find it. And I can guarantee you it is not in a textbook. And if you follow your heart, right or wrong, that's the steps you got to take. And so, you know, I think that some of my greatest failures have led to my greatest successes. And that's where resilience comes in. You know, if you truly believe, then you got to go for it. I say when purpose meets passion, you're unstoppable. And that's what keeps pushing me forward is, you know, I know that I am purpose driven. And most importantly, we're better together. So being surrounded by a group of people that all together want to make a difference, that's where change
Definitely.
Happens.
No, I love the way you've led with all of these companies and all of this thought process. So can we just talk about your passions? But first, I just want to say, if any empowering female brands who'd like to partner with our show, please contact me at nikkibannermanradio.co.uk and join our private Facebook group, Influential Women Podcast, or even help fund us on Patreon to make more shows to help uplift, motivate, heal and inspire women. Are there any hobbies that you can have with this very busy life and all of these things you do and your children and your family? Is there time for anything that's for you as flow time?
Yeah, you know, I love spinning. So SoulCycle is like my great moments of me time, although it's closed right now. Although now I heard they're going to do rooftop cycling. So I'm excited about that. I do have a Peloton at home. So that's amazing. I love watching TV shows that don't make me think about like things I need to build or create. So, you know, I spend a lot of time with that. And really, I love my girlfriends. Girlfriend time is really important to me. And my family, I have an amazing husband and amazing, you know, knock on wood, we say in Jewish, poo, you know, children that just bring me so much joy and happiness every single day. And my big boy, all my children, we love playing games. So Scrabble and Code Names and Rummy Q and whatever, just it's family time. So love that.
That sounds lovely. And actually, you know, so important, particularly in COVID, that people have that downtime. So do you have a mantra for living your life then?
Oscar Wilde says, be yourself because everyone else is taken. So I think that's really important to me. And Sarah Jessica Parker says, trying to be a man is a waste of a woman, which is another really great mantra. And Katherine Hepburn says, if you obey all the rules, you miss all the fun. So I think that's how I've inherited my chief troublemaker. I break the rules that make no sense and create the new ones. So, you know, life is fluid, life is flexible, and don't be afraid to push the boundaries.
Oh, fantastic. That'll inspire those rebels out there. So what's next for you then, Shelley?
You know, we actually are hosting a dinner party in over 100 countries. So it'll be uniting the world through the power of women in over 100 countries. Well, we're working on that right now, which is pretty exciting. You know, I have so many projects. We're working on toolkits to close the gaps. We're working on boot camps for conscious mindset immersion. I don't know. We're full throttle forward. Progress.
Progress and change and love and light by the sounds of it. That's fantastic. So lastly, what wisdom would you say to influence women? And we have men that listen to and love our show as well, actually.
I think for men and women, you know, gender equality is not a female issue. It's a social and economic issue. We are all in this together. And I think that is the most important thing to know. And everything is about a feeling. You can't tell someone to be better. And you know the quote, tell me something I may not remember it. Teach me something I might not learn. Make me feel something, I'll remember it forever. It's about a feeling. It's how do we make everyone feel like they belong? Everyone feel like they have a seat at the table, that we see you, that we hear you, that we feel you. That's how we make business better. That's how we make the economy grow. And that's how we all bring our best selves to work and, you know, continue if we understand everyone's differences. We're all different. Our differences are our greatest strength. And that's when we say diversity is good for business. It really is. But we got to practice what we preach. We got to walk the talk.
Oh, I love what you say and what you do. And I think that's why you've made such a difference. And the way everything's so heartfelt and so real and authentic. And I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much to you, Shelley, for your infinite wisdom as a dynamic thought leader and change maker, helping women make a fairer workforce and society. And keep on keeping on. Thank you so much. The Influential Women's Podcast is co-founded and host-presented by exec producer Nikki Bannerman and award-winning exec producer Juliet Nichols, and produced by Safran Mirza. Please subscribe for free, keep listening for more podcast guests, and our 3 years of back catalogue on all podcast channels on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, and all your usual podcasting platforms. If you love what we do, please share and join our tribe for free with achingly human, real-life stories and download straight to your inbox every other Tuesday.